got his auntie under his sweater. All right, y'all. Let's go ahead and call this meeting to order. Good evening, everybody. We're again call this meeting to order on March 23rd, 2021 for a study session of the Parks and Recreation Advisory Board at 6.03 p.m. Mr. Liao, can I have the roll call, please?
Yes. Vice Chair Coyle.
Here.
Board Member Landau.
Here.
Board Member Odell.
Present.
Board Member Saleta.
Here.
Thank you, sir. Board Member Wood.
Here.
Oh, I'm sorry. I went out of order, but that's okay. Board Member Temple.
We know he's here.
I see you, Gary.
I can see him.
You hear me now?
Yes, sir.
Nice.
All right. And lastly, Chair Clark.
Present. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Let's go ahead and move on to the next item, the call to audience. We'll now open the call to audience. You may address the board on any issue you wish. However, it will not be open for discussion. Pursuant to the Arizona Open Meeting Law, individual members may ask town staff to review the matter, ask that the matter be placed on a future agenda, or respond to criticism made by speakers. However, the board may not discuss or take legal action on matters raised during call to audience. At this time, anyone who is participating through video link may raise their hand. Those on the phone may dial *9. Mr. Leal, have we received any requests?
We have not received any advanced request.
We'll just wait a moment here and see if we have anybody raise their hand in the audience. Give another few seconds here. Okay, it doesn't look like there's anybody who wants to address the crowd tonight. So we'll go ahead and close the call to audience and move on. Mr. Liao, please read the next agenda item.
Next on the agenda is study session agenda item number 1, presentation and discussion regarding CIP priorities and funding of the Parks and Recreation Master Plan Project.
Thank you very much, Ms. Diaz-Trahan. You now have the floor.
Thank you. Good evening, Chair, Vice Chair, and board members. Thank you for dialing in. It's a little chilly and cozy outside, so I have my chilly and cozy sweater on this evening. So as we have been working for a little over a year now on the master plan project that started out with our needs assessment and then really hit the ground running with the master plan process in September. We're getting close. That finish line is within sight. What we will be discussing tonight. So as many of you know, we had a study session with council last week on the 17th and had really great discussion. I did share with you some of the pre-questions that were submitted by the mayor and one of the council members, just for context, so you can have that for your reference. And so what we will look at is they had identified as part of that study session some takeaways for us and the consultant team. So tonight, what Mike Spetz will be discussing and presenting is looking at the prioritization that we left off with you all last month and adding in and making some adjustments as it relates to the takeaways from the council meeting. And so we'll have that discussion and then we'll look at that as it relates to funding and some funding assumptions in terms of how we would have the ability to start moving the needle related to some of these projects, whether or not they're town funded or we could anticipate some grant funding or some kind of partnership. So with that, that's what the bulk of our discussion will be this evening. We definitely want to hear from you in terms of that priority and really talking it through, because the next step is the consultant team will pull all of this information together to develop a strategic action plan. And that action plan will be included within the final draft, and that's really the roadmap moving forward. We plan on bringing back to you the final master plan draft for consideration on April 20th. We will provide that to you in advance, so that gives you time to review it. And then we'll have some healthy discussion on the 20th. And from there, if there's any modifications or changes that we need to do, if that's something we could do just through a motion, that's great. If it needs to be reconsidered, then we can bring it back to you again. But fingers crossed, we've checked off a lot of boxes and answered all the questions to date. So with that, at this point, I will turn it over to Mike Spetz, and he will go over the presentation, and then we will open it up for Q&A. Thank you.
Sure. Thank you, Christy. So I think first of all, I wanted to, if you all can hear me, hopefully, I wanted to take a moment to see if you all had an opportunity, number one, to review the questions and then the responses that had been provided to town council, and see maybe before we dive in, if there are any additional questions that you all may have, or if you feel like your questions, you know, since the last time we presented to you and the couple of times in which we have been in front of town council since then, if there's anything that has come up before we kind of dive into this, the capital improvement side of the equation.
Mike? Yeah, Joe Quayle here. Yeah, I read through it all. I have about three or four questions, and as typical of me, they're all dollar questions. So you want me to just kind of drill through them then?
Are they related to the capital improvements?
Yep.
Okay, so I think maybe what we can do there is let's hold those questions as we kind of go through the capital improvements. Maybe I'll have an opportunity as we go through that to answer your questions, or you can jump in at that point, if that makes sense.
Sure. So like if I have a question on like the fourth item here, when you're reviewing it, I should probably throw it, hey, Mike, what do you think about this?
Exactly.
That time. Got it. Thanks, sir.
Thank you, Vice Chair.
Hi, Mike. This is Antonia. I have a quick question.
Sure.
And I don't know if this is more a question for Christy or if this has been answered previously to me joining this board, but something that keeps kind of coming back in my brain is that it's been recommended for us to do these improvements to Naranja Park, which we all talked about last month. However, after reviewing the questions that were sent out, it really kind of stood out to me that we had talked about kind of some trail connectivity off of Naranja, and that was maybe slated for a future road construction project. And I just didn't know, did we have a timeline for a future road construction project? Because I really think that the Naranja Park is important, but if we're not adhering to the trail connectivity and connecting to Naranja right away, that I feel like we're missing the mark on that one, because we're not providing a good walking path to Naranja Park.
I think that's a great point, Christy. I don't know if you have a
sure. I'm jotting them down and trying to unmute at the same time. So, Member Landau. So, I think it's important to remember that we do have trail connectivity to Naranja Park on the north side. We do have that trail connectivity off of Tangerine. Granted, getting in there is you know the natural trail surface. It's not an asphalt. But certainly the connectivity on Naranja from First to La Cañada is a priority, has been a priority for quite some time. One of our strategies will likely to be to start having those discussions with RTA Next to make sure that that's in the queue. And then as we start, you'll see as we start move discussion on the CIP as far as how could potential funding be created? Could there be maybe, and again, we're speculating here, we're trying to put together some creativity related to financing. So if there's a grant out there And if there's a match, setting aside some funds or identifying funds that the town could utilize for matched funding. So, so that trail system, the bike connectivity on Naranja would definitely be related to a roadway project.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay. Thank you so much. I appreciate that. It's helpful just to ensure that, maybe tying up some of the loose ends since the last time we've chatted, as well as then obviously the conversation we have had with town council, with mayor and town council. So I don't have what I would call a formal presentation per se, and you'll probably be happy with that. But what I wanted to do to kind of tee this up for you is to show you the priority projects that we had discussed last time. And then, between Christy and I, we will tag team the a summary of the conversation that was had with town council that in turn has, in essence, given us an opportunity or given us a view shed into how to potentially reprioritize that list. Then what we'll do is show you what the reprioritized list looks like, as well as then, as Christy mentioned, kind of the high level kind of funding strategy assumptions that take it a step further than what we shared with you last time. And I'll explain that here in a bit. So let me share my screen and I will just tee up this specific slide. So this was as it says, recommended priority projects that were preliminary. This is the listing that we had shared with you all, as well as then the listing that we had shared with mayor and town council on March 3rd, that then in turn resulted in the work session on March 17th, which was all discussion based. So as you can see, there are a number of projects. And I think the way I kind of wanted to walk through these again is to ensure that you know that when we talk about Naranja Park, we're talking about that being the cost associated with that being fully implemented based on the concept plan. The community center and building site incorporates the concept plan for the community center site. That's the parking, that's the landscape issues, that is the tennis courts and pickleball courts, as well as then improvements to kind of the pool area. Those were the major components of the site, but it also incorporates the renovation of the building in and of itself. And then the next four projects listed are tied to the connectivity analysis. There were a number of connectivity opportunities presented. These kind of rose when we had originally discussed with you all. These were the ones that kind of rose to the top. The Tangerine Road to Rancho Vistoso, the pedestrian bridge across the CDO Wash, CDO Wash to James D. Cree, and then the Naranja Drive shared youth path, which, as we said, would be done in conjunction with the roadway project. The Oro Valley Aquatic Center project is really just life cycle replacement of assets and amenities and systems associated with the aquatic center. Steam Pump Ranch, again, is the implementation of the concept plan in full. And then the Amphi School District partnership is kind of Amphi School District, but also potentially with Pima County as well. And this is for the Diamond Athletic Fields at Coronado K through 8 school. So the grand total, of course, I think is a lot. It's $40,650,000, based on construction costs that we had gleaned towards the end of 2020 and the beginning of 2021. It must be noted that obviously construction costs fluctuate, and they certainly have been on the rise significantly, probably even just since we presented this information to you at the beginning of February. So there were several takeaways, and Christy, please jump in if I miss something or if you want to expand upon something. A couple of key takeaways were a conversation around incorporating a couple of additional connectivity analysis projects, and that will be reflected in this. An approach to really kind of ensuring that lifecycle replacement of the existing assets within your existing park system is incorporated into the capital improvement plan. There is some conversation about whether or not that could potentially be funded as part of the annual operations budget. However, as I will show you here in a second, that number is close to, it's eight figures. And that's pretty significant to incorporate into an operational budget. So we're going to look at this as utilizing one-time dollars, which is really what a capital improvement plan is about, one-time dollars to improve capital assets. So we will incorporate that into there as well. And then another big takeaway was, there were a couple of takeaways to this. One was to really ensure that we are tying the recommended priority projects back to community need, independent of cost, while at the same time trying to, per the vice mayor and mayor and town council's suggestion, to try and take this number from about 40.6 million down to around 25 million, meaning 25 million that the town would be responsible for. So, Christy, is any other highlights that you want to add associated with those takeaways?
There was also conversation about, commitment to Neron Hill Park, certainly. And there was, discussion related to the community center, a lot of, discussion about the tennis courts and what we're currently doing, paying now, and what that could look like as far as that being a priority. And then related to the interior, how did we reimagine the space? There was also discussion with regard to both of those facilities as could it be phased in? And so you'll see as Mike presents, we looked at, potential phasing in terms of just dollars and cents. So that's where we really need to have some more discussion with regard to how we can achieve the dollars and cents, but then what does that mean in terms of the programming? How are we programming the park? How are we programming the facility? So I think that captures it.
Great. Thank you. I, as always, appreciate that ground truthing. All right. So I will share then this spreadsheet. So we have taken the priority projects and from the previous list and have basically started to, I don't want to say start from scratch, but as mentioned, really kind of look at this through the lens of what I'll call buckets of projects. The first bucket that you see up on the screen, assuming you all can see that, is really the life cycle replacement of assets within your existing system. So this was a list that we had provided to you all or shared with you all previously. It looked a little bit different. However, this incorporates all of the life cycle replacement in your existing system. One thing of note that we did not have in the list previously, maybe two things of note, is the tennis and pickleball courts were recommended to be completely replaced. So not resurfaced, but completely replaced with concrete. And there was a lot of consensus around that at the mayor's suggestion. We also have incorporated into this dollar figure the golf course irrigation, component of the community center, quote unquote, site. That is approximately a $4 million price tag. The one thing that is not incorporated into this list is the potential purchase of property that is adjacent to your parking lot. There was conversation around that. We hesitate to put a figure into here simply because we do not have any appraisal associated with that, nor have we had any discussion with the landowner. So that is potentially one thing is missing. However, that is something that we certainly, number one, would certainly add to the dollar figure, both in terms of land acquisition, as well as the expansion of the parking lot into that acreage as well. So that's the $7.7 million figure. One thing of note I also think is not included in this list, and I'll talk about it a little bit more when we talk about the community center down at the bottom, but we have not identified what we would call specific life cycle replacement issues with the community center. Our project did not incorporate what we would call a facility assessment of the systems, of the roof, of the lighting, of the HVAC, and so on and so forth. However, I know that previous studies have identified some of that, but that certainly would need to be updated. And then the rest of the projects are, I think, one of the things to make a note of, since we did concept plans for these parks. With Cree, the aquatic center, obviously, associated with that, Riverfront Park and Steam Pump Ranch, these are just the life cycle replacement issues that were incorporated into the overall dollar figure of implementing the concept plans as a full. So if, for example, the full concept plan, as we showed previously, for implementing the cost associated with implementing the entire project associated with Cree is $3 million. We had identified approximately of that $3 million, $1.5 million is associated with just life cycle replacement. So that is why these numbers look a little bit different than the overall capital improvement plan that we had showed to you previously. So the grand total of just life cycle replacement projects is approximately $16.5 million. Any questions on that? And I want to stop and see if Vice Chair Coyle may have any specific questions about this at this point.
So yeah. If Mayor and Council said, go for around $25 million, and you on page 2 of your report, that's 25.3. Basically, that leaves about $9 million above sustainable cost that could be used for quote unquote new projects.
Well, I think the key, and I will be able to answer that in a short order here as I dive into the funding, but the key is $25 million, not total projects, but $25 million that would be of whatever the total project is would be funded by a variety of funding streams that are directly tied to Oral Valley, the town providing the funding for it.
Good. And that's also over a 10-year time frame.
Correct.
Got it. Thanks, Mike.
Sure, you're welcome. Thank you.
Like member,
my chairperson.
Member, oh, sorry, Chrissy. Yeah.
No, Brandon, you got it.
Okay. Member Temple, that was a question, so I'm gonna let him speak. There you go, Gary.
Can you hear me?
Yep.
Mike, you mentioned about that adjacent parcel of land to the existing community center parking lot. My question centers around, do you have some acquiescence feedback coming from the present owner that he might be willing to sell that to the city?
No, it was as you all had raised as part of the February 9th meeting, the same exact issue at a 30,000 foot level was raised. Okay.
Yeah, I just want to make certain nothing had changed since that premise was put out there. Thank you.
Sure. Any other questions? If not, I can move on.
Yeah, Mike, one other question. The operational impact, is that the number that you alluded to earlier that might be an eight-figure item?
That is something that we will have to adjust a little bit, but there would be, we'll have to go back and update the operational impact if we were to implement these projects. I think the key associated with the life cycle replacement is that, you know, just doing life cycle replacement will not cost the town operationally any more than it does today. I would hesitate to say that it actually would result in an operational decrease because you're not spending dollars and cents on potentially maintaining assets that are beyond their life cycle or approaching the end of their life cycle. But I think, you know, I think at the time that you start thinking about, you're able to start doing the life cycle replacement, even if it's a year or two or three down the line, what you're paying today, then, you know, potentially what you're saving would likely just be the annual inflationary increases associated with your operating budget. So I would say for the most part on life cycle replacement, it will be a wash. And so we can, but we will have to update those numbers once we are able to kind of land the plane on a prioritized project list.
So then the follow-up would be the operational impact that would be large would be if we did the $40 million priority projects. That would be a hit to Christie's budget big.
Correct. You're absolutely correct. That's where we would really start to be incorporating, for example, a much more fully developed Naranja Park that not only would come with operational increases in terms of park maintenance, but it also would incorporate opportunities for revenue to offset those expenditures. However, not one-to-one. I think we still ended up with, if Naranja Park were developed completely, we would still end up seeing approximately a $215,000 net increase to the operational budget.
Mike, let me jump in. And Vice Chair Coyle, I want to make sure that it's clear when Mike mentioned the eight-figure number, He was referring to the $16,515,000. So that was the life cycle replacement cost of that. It wasn't at O&M. Okay, thank you.
Thanks for clarifying.
Sure. Any other questions?
So the shared use path projects are the same four that we had in there before. The CDO Wash to James D. Cree, Naranja Drive, the pedestrian bridge, and I will come back to that one in a second, and the Tangerine Road. The two that were added per council's direction was the La Cañada shared use path and the Rancho Vistoso shared use path. That increased the overall shared use path priority projects by approximately $2.3 million. And so that will, to Vice Chair Coyle's reference regarding O&M, all of these will carry an increase associated with operations and maintenance, probably to the tune of about somewhere around, like I think we said, somewhere around $5,500 per mile. It's not significant, but the Rancho Vistoso shared youth path was is 6 miles, whereas the La Cañada is approximately 1 mile. One thing of note is the mayor did propose an alternative to the pedestrian bridge across the CDO Wash. We have not yet mapped that one, and we will likely need to map that one and provide an alternative cost to that specific project almost to be able to provide you an option or a range of options and then a range of costs associated with that.
And to add some clarity, so in terms of the two projects that were added, those were highlights and that were identified by mayor and council. As a reminder, it was a study session, so there was really no like action in terms of specific direction, but we heard enough of the conversation in support of these two projects. So we added those in there. And then also with regard to the pedestrian bridge, there is a pedestrian bridge that does provide that sort of north-south access over the CDO, but it's further east. And so the recommendation here was the connection directly to a park. And so I think that was, I believe that was what the mayor was alluding to, was that since there already is a bridge in existence, while not convenient to the direct access to the park, it is there. So just in terms of, you know, understanding that for future consideration.
Okay. Thank you, Christy. Mm-hmm. Any questions on the shared use path projects? Seeing none, hearing none, I will move on. And then the other project that we had incorporated into the visionary park projects was the Amphi School District Partnership. We feel like this is such a wonderful opportunity at such a low cost that it would, and benefiting a large group of citizens associated with Oro Valley Baseball, this was a project that we also would incorporate into the list. So the grand total of the recommended priority projects is approximately $24 million. This is total cost. So it does get us below a total $25 million price tag, understanding, of course, that these are cost estimates based on end of 2020 dollars, beginning of 2021. And so it's likely to say that we're in that $25 million ballpark. What has dropped out of the recommended priority project list is Naranja Park as a full build out, and the community center as a full renovation. And so I've rounded up, I think we had about 8.9 million. I just rounded up to about 9 million. So those two projects that are not a part of the priority project list right now is 26 million. However, as you can see by the asterisk, There is obviously opportunities to potentially phase in those projects. A Naranja Park phase one would likely be in kind of the core of what you already have developed there. So adding a couple of athletic fields, adding parking, adding restroom facilities, you know, obviously adding in an improved roadway into it, adding in the bike park and skate park element, that's approximately $10 million. And then the community center option phase one is really about kind of taking care of the golf side of the house. So it doesn't really change the operations per se of the community center side of the equation, but it does kind of incorporate, and Christy can provide a little bit more insight on this, but it kind of is the main entrance into the building and that part of the building per se that we're referring to. And that cost is approximately $5 million. So, you know, though we're talking about a grand total of $26 million unfunded, I think in all likelihood, unless a major bond was floated, a bond referendum was approved and by the voters, it's in all likelihood that those projects would end up being phased in. So if we looked at it just purely from a phasing in of those projects over the next 10 years, the unfunded drops from about $26 million to $15
million. Mike, Member Temple has a question.
Yes, can you hear me, Mike?
Yep. Yes, sir. Thank you.
My question goes back to the Rancho Vistosa shared use path. Are we making some assumptions that the current entity up in Canada is willing to sell that property, or am I missing something here?
This is not associated with the golf course. This okay. is literally a shared youth path along Rancho Vistoso.
Okay.
The road in and of itself. And I appreciate the clarity around that question.
Thank you, Mike. Thank you very much.
Hey, Christy, for the unfunded portions of $16 million, the phase one of those two items, realistically, would that be something that would be probably approached in the 22-23 timeframe? Why I'm asking is, I mean, 22 becomes an election year. Might be a difficult time to approach bonding or other issues unless people were being prepped now for that concept.
So, Vice Chair Coyle, I think what we're trying to achieve by the phasing mm-hmm. is that there has the possibility of funding, maybe not through a voter initiative, but maybe just municipal bonding, right? And so there's that possibility. Certainly a voter initiative is something that could be discussed. We also know the history.
Right.
Of that, we're 0-2 in baseball terms. Yep. I know Member Saleta will appreciate that one. And so I think what's important is, as far as this and then for us for discussion next step is really approaching Naranja and the community center interior as a phased approach. And if that's something that the PRAB is supportive of, then really sort of the next step is to talk about the programmatic pieces. As it relates to the community center, as Mike was talking about, really the desire to look at the golf side of the house is because with some changes and of use and location, that opens up large spaces for recreation programming so that we will be able to attain and program and offer programs based on what our community said were their high priorities. So we need spaces to be able to to have the fitness classes, to have senior programming, to have after school and summer programming. And that's why we would want to focus on that side, because the any change in use, that side will have a larger impact to better address what our community told us that they wanted.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay. All right. So now I want to flip to the priority projects list, but with funding. So as I said before, these are some assumptions. And I don't want anybody to think that as we go through this, that we have identified, you know, absolute funding sources and absolute dollars associated with those funding sources. But we wanted to take some a realistic or at least a high level, you know, fairly safe assumptions around how these projects could be funded and what that in turn then looks like in terms of the balance between what Oro Valley as a town would be end up being responsible for funding and then what the other potential funding sources could look like in terms of grants, in terms of partnerships, in terms of, you know, Pima County or RTA funding or potential opportunities with school district as well. But again, I think it's important to note that when we start talking about some of these other very specific entities that we have not had any conversations and we're not putting them on the hook for these by going through these. We're just talking about it in terms of dollars and cents, but the dollars and cents is really about how can we strategically finance or fund the projects in a way that would allow us an opportunity to actually implement the projects. All right. So this is kind of what it looks like. Everything here, columns A and B is what we just showed you. D, E, and F, all of this here is what we have added. So this takes these costs and breaks them down in terms of allocating costs in terms of how the potential projects could be funded. And so all of the lifecycle replacement projects, we've identified approximately out of the $16.5 million, we've identified the town of Oro Valley funding approximately $12 million of that, and another $4.5 million would be derived from other funding sources, and that is kind of what we've made the notes here to give you an understanding on a project-by-project basis what that looks like. So a lot of grants, partnerships, donations, Pima County and grants associated with Steam Pump Ranch, and then potential partnerships and grants associated with West Lambert. So we've been able to take this total of $16 million and reduce it in terms of the town of Oro Valley writing the check down to about $12 million. In terms of the visionary shared youth path projects, exact same exercise, and we've identified actually more alternative funding sources or other funding sources for the grand total of the shared use path projects. Shared use path projects is going to be one of those tongue twisters for me along the way. So the town of Oro Valley, we're looking at approximately $2.4 million in funding. All of the shared use path projects that we identified, and about $3.6 million from other funding sources. So when we look at the visionary projects, we've identified approximately $500,000 coming from the town of Oro Valley for that AmFi school district partnership and $1 million from other funding sources. And again, these are our assumptions that we're making for these projects in terms of funding. So we've been able to take that $24 million price tag and reduce the town of Oro Valley's responsibility down to approximately $15 million, with about $9 million coming from other funding sources. When we look at Naranja Park, we look at the unfunded visionary projects. We're looking at this through the lens of, if the town decided to move forward with Naranja Park as a full build out and the community center full renovation, we're thinking that the town would be on the hook for the majority of that, approximately 90% of those costs, or $23.4 million, with other potential funding sources being about $2.6 million. So if we looked at it from all projects, and this includes these unfunded visionary park and facility projects, the town would be on the hook. The grand total is about $50 million. So it's actually more than the $40 million. About what the town would be on the hook for is pretty close to that original $40 million, about 38.3, with other funding sources being 11.7 million. If we looked at phasing Naranja and phasing the community center, and we use the same 90% Town of Oro Valley assumptions, that becomes a different figure. So instead of 38.3 million, now we're a lot closer. We're at 28.4 million, a little bit closer to that $25 million price tag. So that is that I think ultimately is the crux, right? Do we, knowing that we're kind of above the $25 million price tag, but we're kind of, I hate to say it this way, but we're in the ballpark, so to speak. Do we incorporate into the recommended priority projects based on this funding scenario? Do we incorporate a phase one of Naranja and a phase one of the community center into the recommended priority projects? I'm happy to run through all of these very specifically. But again, these funding assumptions are just that. They are assumptions. They're a little bit better than best guess, but they're certainly not dialed in. But we feel pretty comfortable and confident with these numbers. So again, of the recommended priority projects, the town would be on the hook for about $15 million. If we incorporated full build out of Naranja and the community center, the town is now on the hook for $38.3 million, which I think is way too close to that original $40 million figure for it to be palatable. However, if we incorporate a phased approach for Naranja and the community center in lieu of full build out and full renovation, now we're a little bit closer to that $25 million figure, and we're at about 28.4 million.
And if I may, the $25 million was part of the discussion on last week, and is one of the members had brought up. And so I think that it's been a lot of work to get here to the 28, and yeah, we're close, we're in the ballpark, and I think that if we want to drill down in discussion in terms of philosophically, is there support or change based on this latest iteration of the recommended priority projects? And if we're good with that, then we can kind of drill down a little bit more specific to Naranja and the community center. So with that, unless there's any other specific questions, and let's open it up for discussion. Oh, go ahead, Mike.
Yeah, one thing I do want to point out is that when we talk about we showed you all those concept plans previously. When we talk about those concept plans, there actually is one project or two concept plans that get fully funded in this scenario. One is the community center site. So minus the expansion of the parking, and it doesn't obviously incorporate anything associated with the building, but it is the full community center site concept plan that gets implemented and the full steam pump ranch concept plan that gets implemented. So I wanted to be clear on that because I think those are a couple of takeaways to the visuals that we have showed you previously.
Mike, question for the other funding sources, recognizing that all grants require proposal and competition and that stuff, but do the grants that are mentioned there, are they previously identified or accessed grants that are in your company's database that says, hey, there exists a grant out here, you might be able to get it? Or is it just something, hey, maybe we send a letter to Bill and Melinda, they'll give us money?
We haven't done that level of detail. The level of detail that has kind of resulted from these splits or these ratios is tied back to that original funding strategy that we shared with you back at in February, where we kind of showed you that screen that said, here are the projects and here are all of the potential funding sources that could fund each one of those individual projects. What we did for purposes of this conversation is to kind of look at it and say, look at each one of these projects and really kind of say, yeah, you know what, we feel like there is opportunity there. And rightly so. I think implementing any master plan should come with a multi-pronged approach to a funding strategy. But have we identified specific grants and or specific dollars associated with those grants at this time? No.
Okay, thanks.
So just to make it clear, so down towards the bottom where you say Town of Oro Valley is 90% and other, we don't really know where that other funding is coming from. These are just kind of our best guesses at potential other sources of funding.
They could be fundraising, they could be partnerships, they could be donations. There's a lot of what I would call kind of small dollars and cents that can add up to that $2.6 million. Feel like, obviously, again, it would take some work to generate that $2.6 million. But there's likely some grant funding associated with it. But I would think partnerships with potential sport organizations, partnerships with user groups, a kind of a behind the scenes, almost like a park foundation approach to fundraising up to a specific dollar amount.
Okay. All right. So just, and kind of to reiterate what Vice Chair Quill was asking. So none of these, we haven't broached any of these actual other sources of funding as far as the grants and things. So we don't, so really Oro Valley right now, we're approving the full price tag, not the guess of potential other funding.
I think there is some funding sources that are certainly identified in the in these two areas, the Visionary Shared Youth and the Visionary Park projects, that we feel, I think, pretty comfortable with simply because of location, as well as then, who kind of, I don't want to say it this way other than to say maybe who controls the property. And there is like the Amphi School District partnership. The Town of Oro Valley or OV Baseball isn't the only one potentially benefiting from the improvement of that site. So I think we feel pretty comfortable with those. It's the other ones that I think, It's a little bit easier to identify grant funding associated with trail projects than it is life cycle replacement projects or what we would call kind of these bigger projects as well. Because you ultimately what you would do with some of these bigger projects is start to break them down into smaller pieces. You think about Naranja, there are so many potential elements associated with that. You could say, all right, well, in order to get the bike park, skate park, there's a specific grant or specific grants associated with that. For the trails component, there's potentially specific grants associated with that. But yes, to reiterate your point, no, we have not, nor I don't think have we ever, as part of any master plan project, really looked at it in terms of this grant can potentially get you this amount of money.
Right. And there's no guarantees there. Okay. Thank you.
Correct.
Mike. Hi, it's Antonia.
Hi.
I just want to piggyback onto Chair Clark's questions there. So down the line, as we dig into the weeds of some of this, will there be kind of a recommendation come together as in, if this funding isn't approved, then we would like to go in XYZ direction, such as a priority list of projects if funding wasn't found? Is that a thing that we will get into, or is that just left to the town council to decide amongst themselves?
Yeah, I think that's the, you know, and having lived on Christie's side of the table, that's always the fun, right? That's the implementation side. And so we've taken the entire, you know, the entire plan and broken it down into recommended and then taken it a step further and looked at potential funding strategies, not just necessarily through the lens of, you know, checking this box, but through dollars and cents. I think it makes it a little bit more tangible for us to identify the action steps and the priorities associated with implementing a plan. The one thing I think is really important to recognize is that with the exception of Amphi School District and with the exception of Naranja Park full build out, in essence, we are either responding to strong community need around trails and shared use paths, or or we're responding to the simple fact that you have to take care of your existing system. And that's the life cycle replacement component. That includes the community center because you own that building and it's a building that dates to the 80s. And at some point you're going to have to reinvest in that. But all of the life cycle replacement are properties that you currently own. The shared use path is an extension of your existing shared use path system, but it responds very directly to the desires of the community, whether it's qualitative, whether it's website, whether it's the statistically valid survey or the online survey. Trails was a huge priority in your community. And then the Amphi School District partnership obviously is very opportunistic, because if you were to try and build that park on its own, you're probably talking about probably close to a $15 to $20 million price tag, because you would A, have to acquire land, B, develop the land just purely from an infrastructure standpoint, and then build the park on top of the infrastructure.
I have a question, Mike. This is Philip. With respect to the shared use paths, it seems like, you know, we have the grants, which could come from a lot of different sources. But we also are involving PAG, RTA, and the flood control district. So I think that interjects some uncertainty there in terms of their budgeting process and their schedule. But hopefully, you know, those things could be worked out. So I don't know what your thoughts are or Christie's thoughts are on that in terms of timing and working with these entities?
So I'll start that. So Member Saleta, the Tangerine Extension, so that's the loop extension that the Flood Control District actually, I want to say about a year and a half ago, or maybe it's a year ago, took it from Ore Valley Marketplace, went underneath Tangerine, and it the road, the pathway extends just a little past Ore Valley Hospital. And so we are actually in communication with the Flood Control District and those property owners to work through easements, et cetera, so that way the Flood Control District can complete that project all the way up to Tangerine. So that's something that is alive and well, and we're working through that right now. And so in terms of the funding, I'm confident that it's there through the Flood Control District. As it relates to PAG RTA, certainly that's something that needs to be identified, put in the queue, having the discussion and having that prioritization, also understanding what's going to be happening with RTA next. So so yes, that certainly is some timing and strategy, but it's an important piece, and we believe that is a very strong funding opportunity specifically for that project.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Just another question. With respect to the $16 million in the life cycle replacement projects, Christy and Mike, you can interject too. How do you see that? I mean, do you see that as that $16 million that would come through a five-year period in the budgeting process for Park and Rec? Or how do you see that? Is it 3 years? Is it?
So Member Saleta, so this is a 10-year plan. So we're looking at a 10-year replacement cycle. And I'll look at Riverfront Park, for example. The playground that's in there is original, and that park is about 19 years old. And so in the next 10 years, we're going to need to remove and replace with new amenities, and as playground manufacturers go, replacing like a slide may not be doable anymore because that slide isn't available based on the standards that are built. So within 10 years, these are the projects that will need to be completed.
Okay, thank you.
And just to reiterate, there is a very detailed breakout of each park. So the way these numbers were derived is that we looked at, or Rebecca from Kimley Horn had looked at each of the parks that we did concept plans for, and had identified of the improvements associated with those concept plans, what was purely just life cycle replacement in place and what was an expansion of experiences or amenities within it. And there are dollars and cents associated with it. The Honeybee Canyon project, the THOAG and Wes Lambert are obviously much smaller dollar figures, a grand total of, $315,000 in the big scheme of things. Not that anybody on this call is going to write a check for that. But in the big scheme of things, those are much smaller dollar figures. And that was tied to the park and facility assessment work that Rebecca and her crew did, and identified those as those specific elements as improvements that would need to be made in the next 10 years. It could range from signage to restroom replacement, parking lot improvements, so on and so forth.
Thank you.
Yeah, I have a question. What's the current budget for Parks and Rec in a year?
So
just round number.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Member Wood, if
you threw out to me a couple of weeks ago a dollar figure that you were looking at for the next couple of years to address capital improvements, right?
I think that's what I need to understand from Member Wood. Are we talking about capital, or are we just talking about general O&M?
Well, personnel? Yeah, generally what it is right now, and then how much we're going to add to it. Are we doubling Parks and Rec, or?
So Mr. Spetz said, in terms of lifecycle replacement, there really won't be any impact in terms of O&M. We're replacing a one for one. Likely where the impact would be is in capital, like a capital request.
Yeah.
And I'll use Steam Pump Ranch, for example. So this year we have $500,000 earmarked for improvement at Steam Pump Ranch. That's a capital expense, but it would chip away at that site. So a lot of the items included in this lifecycle replacement would be a capital aquatic center if we need to do replacement of the heating units, for example. However, as Mike mentioned, if some of it is signage or improvements to restroom fixtures, and that would be part of our general O&M. So that's how that would be balanced. Member Wood, it looks like you froze.
No, I just...
Oh, okay.
Want to rephrase my question. Sure. How much do we spend on Parks and Rec every year?
Oh, I believe in terms of the park maintenance division, administration, aquatics, and recreation and culture, I want to say we're at about $4.5 million. And then the community center is within a fund.
Right. Yeah.
So if we are the community center side of the house in a pre-COVID environment, in terms of expenses, is roughly roughly $1 million, and we generate roughly $950,000 in revenue.
Yeah, so it's almost a wash.
And on the community center portion of it, but certainly that's the fund where golf is also included, and then the half cent sales tax, which is helps to offset some of the differential there from both the community center and golf side, but as well as saving up for these capital investments. That was right. The spirit of that fund.
Right. So when he shows Town of Oro Valley is going to come up with $5,775,000 for the community center on that, that's coming out of the town budget in that 10-year period, right?
It would come out of the town budget. Correct. Yes. And the community center fund is included in the town budget. So yes.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Anybody else have any other questions or ready to open for public comment?
Mike, are we still talking about the prioritization of the various projects, or there's like, 13 pages here. If there's questions further on, you want us to wait till you get down further?
No, I think this is kind of where this is the information we wanted to discuss tonight. Okay. And I think it's, I think from, Christy, I can ask you all, but how you want to phrase this, but I think at the end of the day, what we're asking for or is to receive some direction from you all that what projects, and you can talk about them in groups, or if you want to move things around, we're happy to do that too. But do you have some consensus around incorporating into the recommended priority projects the lifecycle replacement, the shared use path, and the visionary, the Amphi school district, And then the outlier is, do we want to incorporate into the recommended priority projects the full build out of Naranja and full renovation of the community center, or a phased approach to Naranja and the community center, or not including them at all?
Well, I personally would be in favor of a phased approach. I'm very involved in the community here in Oro Valley, and I've heard a lot of rumblings of wanting to make sure that we have a pay-as-you-go approach. And so I think doing a phased approach for upgrading Naranja Park and the community center would fit the bill there.
Yeah, I'd kind of second that. I would say that you're really faced with an issue that the sustainable is a given. Kind of got to do that. The visionary is addressing the shared use path projects, which was a number one priority for the community. So to me, that is what you have to do. And the AmFi one is, it's money on the ground. If we don't do that, we're wasting money in a sense. So it's a good investment. From the issue of the phasing approach, I agree with Chair Clark. You kind of need to put, your line in the sand that this is what we're moving forward to, but it is dependent upon other funding sources and the ability to go pay as you go. So I agree with her on that. So I think it's a good path forward.
And I would like to place a higher priority because it is such a good deal for us with the partnership of AmFi Schools. As you know, it's already, some of the stuff is existing. I would hope that we can work with them to maybe utilize some of their other sites besides Coronado. So I just think it's just such a great idea. Member Temple.
Yeah, I would like to add a third affirmation of the phased approach, because don't forget, I think within those lump sum entities are a lot of subcomponents that are probably going to have to go through some prioritization. Is that a fair statement? Christy, Mike?
Yes, I would say yes. I think from a Naranja Park phased approach, it is really about constructability. And what I mean by that is tying off or you have your core, so it doesn't make sense to go and build in a whole different part of the park. Makes sense to kind of expand around the core right now because you have infrastructure there, you have parking there, and it just allows you to kind of work from the center of the bullseye out.
I agree.
I have a question. So am I understanding correctly that the phased approach that we're talking about is essentially still like downgrading from the original concept and expanding this phase one over a 10-year period? Is that correct?
That's a great question. I don't know that we can fully answer that. I would have to probably say that if you want to keep the park from being a construction site over 10 years, right, you probably need to identify what that phase one is and then go, push all your chips to the table and go from there.
And that was where I was going with my question, because if this is going to be our recommendation, then are we recommending that both Naranja Park and the community center be under construction for 10 years? And is that something that we feel would be conducive to the community? So I guess for me, my recommendation would be to learn more about what that phase one would actually be as far as a timeline goes and what's implemented, because otherwise, my recommendation, maybe one, not the other, but to have both of them under construction for a 10-year time frame and not even be that full concept build out seems maybe like it's not something we should do.
Right. So I can give you a general approach to what that timeline would look like. So let's just say in 2024, 2023, let's just say 2024, if the town decided, all right, we're going to fund Naranja Park, you immediately go into a design phase, which takes the concept plan and starts to go through, I think we talked about this previously, schematic design and then design development and then construction documents, and then you have to bid the project out. Usually that amount of time, depending upon the complexity, is somewhere between 12 and 18 months. Construction then is probably another 12 to 18 months as well. So from the time that the town said go to the time that you're doing a ribbon cutting of the phase one of Naranja Park, it's probably safe to say it's at a minimum of 2 years, but probably closer to a 3-year project. And I would, you know, say that the community center in and of itself, as far as a phased approach, would probably be a similar timeline.
So it's not like the community center or Naranja Park is going to be just consistently under construction for 10 years.
Correct.
Okay.
Right. So essentially, to a community member, that does mean that they'll go 3 to 4 years without seeing anything because all this back work is being done. And then essentially for maybe a 5-year time frame, there is a lot of construction going on. Am I understanding that correct?
No. I think what you would have is you would have the design phase be 12 to 18 months. And then the construction phase, the actual, you know, earth moving or renovations to the building, be another 12 to 18 months.
But that's dependent on funding.
It's dependent upon when the town says go. So here we have, you have to have the funding first, obviously. So you could go through a 2 or 3 year period in which, you know, or a 5-year period in which, you know, nothing changes at all because you don't have the funding to hit the start button on the project, so to speak. The only other thing, obviously, is that these we have incorporated a little bit of an escalator into these costs. But the longer you wait to hit the start button on the project, even the 12 to 18 month design period costs could go up. So that's always the significant challenge with a project is when you hit the start button is really dependent upon whether or not this figure, say, for example, with Naranja is actually 10 million or does it become 15 million?
With this project then, Mike, we would wait until we have the full 10, say it is 10 million. We would wait till we have that full 10 million to do the entire phase concept, or would it be possible that, we have 2 million this year, so let's do this project. We have 2 million this year, so let's do this project. I guess that's how maybe I would be concerned it gets played out. And then now we're under construction for years.
That the scenario that you just painted, Member Landau, is exactly the scenario that would get you Naranja Park being a construction site for 10 years.
Right.
But that's the pay as you go that we've been hearing from town council.
Yeah, correct. I mean, that ultimately is there is a philosophical decision to the financing of these projects, as well as then actually having the dollars and cents to do so. Correct.
So in hearing that, then I thank you for clarifying all of that. In hearing that, for me, I guess it would be nice to know more of what that phase one $10 million price tag includes. And then knowing then, do we recommend, you know, all of that work being done, or maybe we downscale knowing that then our project might not be drawn out as long. I don't have the answer. It's just my recommendation.
Understood. That is that as I alluded to earlier, that is the fun of implementing. So you think you've had conversations now about the master plan to get into the implementation side. It's a lot of fun. I mean, it's where you actually can start to see the fruits of all of this planning effort start to really take off.
Right. Looks like, sorry, go ahead, Antonio.
So I was just going to finish up by saying, though, that I do agree with the investment in the Amphi district, and obviously the priorities as in regards to the sustainable projects. That's like a given that we have to do. But so those things I all agreed upon. It's just the recommendation of moving forward with the phased approach. It would be the only thing I would change about that.
Okay, thank you. Looks like Member Shalata had a question, and then Member O'Dell.
Hi, this is Philip. You know, the way I sort of see this right now, based upon what council talked to you about, Christy and Mike, I think the life cycle project, the shared use path, and the Amphi partnership, to me, is the top priority. And I think that dollar figure for all three of those, what is that again, 20, 24 million, 14 for the town and 9 for the other entities and grants and all that, to me, that's got to be the highest priority. Now, with that said, I like the idea of the phased Naranja Park, but then I also like the idea of making sure that that second phase would go through to where we do the complete $17 million project for Naranja. But what I'm concerned about is that when council, if council's already said the possibility of these things getting somewhat pared down already, I don't want to lose the life cycle, the shared use priority, or the Amphi partnership at all. I think those things need to move forward as timely and as best they can be funded as possible by all the entities. I think then we should probably say we should consider down the road this phase one for Naranja Park, but with full completion of the 17, and break it down to phase one Naranja Park and phase two Naranja Park and phase one community center. But what I'm concerned about, based upon what you've already heard from council, is that I think it's very important to move forward with those projects, the life cycle, the shared use path, and the Amphi partnership.
Yeah, I would, I thank you for those comments. I appreciate them. I would say that probably what we would do for a quote unquote phase two for Naranja Park and the community center, assuming we incorporate the phase one into the recommended priorities, I would probably couch those as aspirational projects, meaning that if the opportunity arose and you ended up with the funding, then yes, you could do it. So the idea would be that it wouldn't fall off the face of the earth. It would still be reflected in the plan, but that those phase two projects would be incorporated as, I'm using the term aspirational because I can't come up with anything else right now.
Member O'Dell.
Yeah, thank you. Want to probably direct this to Christy, and I support the phase and the PAYGO, but with respect to the Amphi School District interlocal agreement, I think it's pretty obvious that you've had communication with the county with respect to Amphi Public School. Has there been any communication or a teaser with respect to what the town wants to do with those Coronado fields? And if not, would it make sense to reach out to them now? Because it sounds like with the rest of the board that this absolutely needs to take place, perhaps bringing in Oro Valley Little League and any other user group that might use those fields. Christy, what do you think?
Member O'Dell, we have had discussions with the leadership at Amphi, and they are supportive of this project and of a partnership. So in advance of a recommendation, we wanted to ensure that they were on board I have had an opportunity to meet with the Oral Valley Little League leadership as well, several members of their board, and they were supportive of this. They, you know, they like the fields. They get it in terms of the savings and the benefits there. They've already provided their priorities in terms of what they would want. And certainly, as you know, most larger youth sport organizations, they do a lot of fundraisers, they get sponsors, and they would be also a partner in this process.
So, you know, I think the phased in approach is probably going to be the most effective. I get a feeling that the town council is going to say, you know, you have this much money to spend each year. Which projects do you think, you know, you need to go forward with? I mean, that's kind of the, seems like the philosophy that I've heard the last few years listening to the meetings. But if I could just take a second and give a kind of a 30,000 foot from what I'm hearing from the people that I talk to a lot, you know, I think PROS delivered what the town asked for, but I think as time passed, a lot of the questions are different. And the best example of that, of course, is the former Vistoso golf course is the elephant in the room now. And here's really what I'm hearing from the people in the Rancho Vistoso area, that there's really not much in this whole program for the 40% of the population that live north of Tangerine. There's no mention of proposed purchase property for open space or acquisition. And we all know the town's working on negotiating with Romspen to purchase the property, which is great. But we don't really know how that's going to happen, and it's not really in the plan anywhere. And I don't know that it can really be in the plan because it hadn't happened yet. It's kind of the chicken and the egg. But you know, open space and trails are really the big vote getters on the surveys. And yet most of the money is going to go to Naranja and the community center and steam pump, which are great parks. And I support that. But I think that somewhere along the line, you know, if we're going to have to go to the voters to get more funding, I think we're going to have to take a hard look at that 40% of the population that lives north of Tangerine. So just what I had to say. Thanks.
If I could just add one comment to that, the simple conversations that Christy and I had yesterday touched on that very issue, and we have gone through and updated our level of service to identify, you know, approximate need of about 12 to 15 acres of community parks, and or in the community park classification. And obviously looking at opportunities to do that north of Tangerine. You know, I think the ideal situation there is that you identify a piece of property that you don't have to pay land acquisition costs for. And, you know, that obviously could be another entity that owns that, that would allow you an opportunity to build on that site. That said, the cost associated with a 12 to 15 acre park, developing it, is probably in the neighborhood of $500,000 to $700,000 per acre. And so we're talking about, you know, if you're talking about a 12 acre park, we're probably on the high end talking about $8 million, $8.4 million. I think I'm couching all that to say, is that something that you want us to incorporate into the plan as a priority project or include it as an aspirational project as well?
More like a contingency. So aspirational would probably work too. But, you know, if something were to occur, you know, can we put this into the 10-year plan? That's what I'm hearing.
Sure. Sounds like, Member Wood, you're kind of wanting an amendment, a possible amendment to the plan should the town acquire that space. Is that what I'm understanding?
Yeah, I think that would work. There's a community meeting next Tuesday, right? So maybe after that, more of this will kind of work its way out, and if we hear much in that.
Well, the trouble is we can't kind of put the cart before the horse, and so it's hard to tell the future. And so I live in Rancho Vistoso too, so I'm with you. You know, for us north of Tangerine Road, there's not a lot the town has to offer. But I think that we could probably work that out should the town acquire the land.
If I may, Chair Clark. So the work that we've done is based on the facilities that we own. We've owned Naranja Park for over 20 years. We've owned the community center for, I want to say, about 7 years. And so those were investments that future leaders in our community thought were important to our community. And so that's really been the focus of this plan, of this master plan. We're slated to continue this process with ideally getting approval from council in June. I do recognize, as it relates to the former golf course in Rancho Vistoso, that in April there will be some discussions and findings based on some of the work that our town manager Jacobs and some of the great work that she's been doing will be presented. I don't know what that's going to be. I don't know what that's going to look like. What I would suggest is if the town at some point acquires that property or any other property that has the potential to be associated with parks and recreation, that we regroup, high-level plan that, and then incorporate that into the master plan. So if that's something that we do in a year or in 3 years, based on when other property becomes available, that's how we can incorporate it in the plan. We have been working on this project for about a year and a half, and we are very, very close to the finish line. And for the, you know, for the, all of the work from this project that you all have done, that our community has provided feedback, in my opinion, that's the best route in terms of if and when the town has an opportunity to acquire property that has recreation value, that we come back together as a group, as a board, and as a community to identify where that fits in the plan.
Perfect. That's what I'm hearing that we're looking for. So that's good. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Do any other board members have any comments or questions? Okay.
Good. Chair Clark, if I may, I just as a quick wrap up, I just want to make sure that I've covered the high level based on my notes here, because we have a lot of work to do. And as Member Wood mentioned, we do have a community meeting a week from tonight. So I want to make sure that we're hearing some consistency and some consensus. And so overall, there was a strong desire to prioritize the life cycle replacement components of that. There was a strong desire to proceed with the AMFI partnership opportunity. And there was overall support of the phased approach. And so just high level, if that is not something included what this board wants, please let me know.
As well as the shared use path project.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, in my mind, that was part of the sustainable and the shared use projects.
Chair Clark?
Yes.
A question for Christy or Matt. You alluded to that meeting next week. Could you put out a member notice to the board here of when and where that'd be? It might be nice. I'd like to attend and just listen to what some other people are saying.
Vice Chair Coyle, we'll certainly provide that link to you.
Yeah, it's not on the website. I looked this morning.
Oh, I'm...
Is it?
So because it's a community meeting, it won't be in the boards and commissions.
Okay, that's where
calendar.
I looked.
Right, yeah. If you go to, I think there's events page on the park and recreation page, and I think it's also in the projects page. We also have put that on the... on our weekly e-blast that we send out to our user groups. And we do anticipate that there's going to be an ad in the newspaper tomorrow night.
Okay, super.
Yeah, I'll email that out to board members, but the easiest place to find it, just to be helpful here, is on the town's main homepage. We have a calendar section. And so that calendar lists the community events as well as a few other things. So, but I will email that link.
And can we also have the spreadsheets that are presented to us tonight also? Thank you. Okay. Any other questions, comments from the board? Okay. Do we want to open it up for any public comment?
Chair Clark, that's your choice.
Yes. So I guess my question maybe for Joe, do I need to read this disclaimer again if we open up to the audience?
Chair Clark, you may, if you open it up, just let them know how to make their comments, that they have the certain minutes. I mean, I don't know if there's a disclaimer per se, but...
or the call to audience, whatever.
You don't have to do call to audience because this isn't a call to audience. What you're doing as your prerogative as the chair is you're opening up to public comment, although it's not listed that way on the agenda. That's fine. You can do that.
Okay. Thank you. So I would like to open it for public comment, and you will be limited to 3 minutes to address the board. So if you'd like to... comment, please either raise your hand, or if you're on the phone, please dial *9. I'll just wait a couple minutes and see. Okay, well, it doesn't look like we have any public comments, so go ahead and close the public comments. And Ms. Diaz-Tran, do we have everything we need to move forward?
I do. I want to just thank you all for the great conversation, the direction. This is definitely the meat that we needed in order to get us to the finish line. So thank you, and look forward to our discussion next month.
Great. So seeing no further business, may I have a motion to adjourn at 7:41 p.m.?
So moved.
Second.
Thank you very much. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All right. Thank you very much. We'll see you at our meeting next month. Have a good night, guys.
Thank you.
Night. Good night, everyone. Thanks, Chair Clark.
Thank you.